As Bruce Buffer would say, we are live. That's a much more muted impression of Bruce Buffer.
And guess who's here and guess who's not?
Yeah.
You're back.
I win.
High on the throne.
I win.
I would not puff your chest out too far given the track record that...
Hey, I've been pretty rock solid.
You've showed up, yes. If
that's
the question,
that's all that matters.
Yes, yeah, you have certainly been rock solid, but I would not be crowing about our attendance records just yet. We can talk more about that, but I would just ask the listening audience to pay attention to the voices you hear and the voices you don't. But
we won't mention it.
No, not at all. But we got a lot to get to, so let's go ahead.
Let's do it.
From the quantum realm, this is the Bad Slant Podcast. We are no longer in the glass enclosed nerve center. We are out and about. We're queer. We're here. We're loving it. Really unusual way to introduce the show.
Strange.
Yeah, things are off. Things are not the same as they were the previous week, so forgive us for being a little batty, a little off kilter. But as always, you can find us, regardless of how we're doing the show, you can find us on badslant.com.
I know.
On Instagram and Twitter, at badslant, wherever you can find podcasts. This is the first time I screwed that up in like 6 weeks, and I'm really pissed off about that. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star review, subscribe wherever you can. We need the listeners. We need the track record from the people, the audience of this show to show up by giving us those little tick marks that say one more, one more, one more.
And most importantly, your ratings. Your ratings go a long way, actually.
We do have five. I've seen the 5-star reviews.
I've seen it too.
Nobody wants to give us any details and explain why we deserve the 5-star, but we'll take whatever we can get. So appreciate those that are doing it out there in the field. And as always, support us on our links, on our website. We got the support tab for Amazon.com, Target.com. We took a slight hiatus from highlighting our items of the week, but this week
we're back. What we got for them?
We have something that is actually used by members of the show, the Amazon Fire Stick or Amazon TV Fire TV Stick. I should know what it is before I start talking about it and claiming that I actually use it. But
you do have one, right?
I do have an Amazon Fire TV Stick. It's the guy that plugs into to your actual television, so it doesn't have that messy footprint on any countertops or desks or accoutrement you have for utilizing your television, but it's seamless. I will say this. I have plugged the Roku television on this very fine podcast in episodes past. The downside to it is that there are situations where the programs you want to run, like, say, your DirecTV Nows, they run a little slow, a little sluggish. I'll say this. Even Netflix will just die. Literally die.
Netflix
on the Roku device.
Crazy.
On the Roku TV. So I've gone to great lengths of having to find workarounds, but the Roku has been nearly seamless and flawless in its execution of these apps that, if you got a smart TV, you're going to use on a regular basis.
You're confusing me for a second. But this is all running on the Fire TV Stick, though.
Yes, so the Fire TV Stick will run all those apps. So if you have a TV that for some reason isn't a smart TV, the Roku TV Stick will actually give you that capability on your television.
Because I know, like, Roku makes their own separate devices, but we're talking about running Roku on a Fire TV Stick. Or no?
A Roku TV. This is going to get real complicated.
God,
real
man.
Bad. Damn it.
You just fucked shit up.
We should totally start to go over. Okay, so all of that is to say, sometimes Roku bad, Fire Stick TV good.
Okay.
So you can get them now from Amazon.com, shocker, for $29.99. That's $10 off their normal price. So get them while you can. There should be a hot seller at that price. But I fully endorse it. I have my Fire TV Stick plugged into my Roku TV, so I'm actually bypassing the built-in software to use the Fire Stick software and hardware. So if that's not a ring endorsement, I don't know what is. So get them while you can through our website, badslant.com/support, $29.99 with the $10 off discounted price. So
damn right.
Boom, bam. That's
where it is. And this week, we got a little special guest, right?
Yes. He I don't know if he uses the Amazon Fire Stick, but he is a man of many interests. We should ask him about that, because that would really kind of bring this whole thing to a nice fine closure. He's a fellow alumnus of the James Madison University, of which I am. He is also the owner of a pretty large, what used to be a large supply of Funko Pop dolls. He's my buddy. We can get into that. But he's my boy. I've taken a few shackles off of him playing poker, but he's our guy, Brian. Welcome to the Bad Slam Podcast, brother. How are you?
What's going on? What's going on, fellas?
We didn't want to interrupt your Dorito eating, but
you already interrupted it. So.
It's a very worthwhile endeavor. I'm sure it's keeping you energized for the show. So we appreciate you carving up. But thanks for making it out tonight, because we had some rather extenuating circumstances with the hosts. Again,
but we're not going to mention it.
Not going to mention it.
I figured that was the reason I was invited.
Pay attention.
Something fell through. It's like we need somebody.
No.
I'll say this. I have just my wife who lives here. I've kept her on the bench, but for good reason. I've wanted to get her on the show at the appropriate time. Just like I only wanted to get you on the show at the appropriate time.
That's fair.
But, you know, at this rate, I would say you're going to be a part of our bench. I don't want that to sound like an insult in any way, but I've wanted you on the show for some time, but we finally had the proper occasion to go to the bullpen and get you on board. So thanks for the time.
I will put it this way. Take it as a compliment. There's a handful of personalities that we like to be part of the show, and you're one of them.
I'm happy to be here then, man.
Yes. So thank you for making out to
so
the show.
So, do you have a Fire Stick? I guess that's
I do not.
We got to button that up.
I do not.
Oh, well, damn it. That really would have made this whole story worthwhile.
That would have been good.
Oh, crap. Well, how do we put a transition out of that? Well, I did mention your Funko Pop collection.
Oh, correct.
It's something you've been so generous with in trying to purge your existing collection that you've actually come to our house for episodes of Game of was it for an episode of Game of Thrones where we dropped this guy off? Or was this coming over to hang out?
I can't remember.
Yep.
I mean, I remember giving it to you. I don't remember
the
occasion for it.
What the? Oh, okay. I didn't
get it. You get it.
Oh, Jesus
Dirty
Christ.
Pop.
I didn't really know why he had Dirty Pop queued up on his computer, but now it's all coming together.
And I'm a big fan of NSYNC and Justin Timberlake. So
whatever occasion you could pull together,
this is the only occasion that
I'll second that.
I guess I have access to the fader now. I can totally cut this off right here, right now. So we're talking about Funko Pops. Do you want to go into detail what the hell Funko Pops are? Because I feel like they're ubiquitous in pop culture.
Well,
no pun intended.
I think our resident expert should be the one to go into that.
Oh, I didn't know it was going to do all this.
Well, it's basically Funko Pop. I mean, everyone probably knows what they are, but it's those little plastic collectibles that you see in all the stores that, you know, it's referencing pop culture and they have...
that's why they call them
really
pop.
Big heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also don't like that you call them dolls.
Who called them dolls?
Did I say dolls?
You did.
Oh, you're such a jerk.
I thought I said figurines, but mea culpa. I apologize. They're figurines. Is that more appropriate?
Figurines,
probably. Collectibles, maybe.
Collectibles. I like collectibles better than figurines and dolls.
I'm gonna try not to burn this bridge, so I'm gonna go with whatever you're saying. They're figures. Vinyl figures.
So I wouldn't say I'm like a huge collector, but I've kind of grown this addiction to buying the ones that kind of that's meaningful to me. But okay. So I don't go out and just buy all of them just to have the full set, but I do collect the ones that kind of have meaning for me. So
you have 300 meaningful vinyl pops.
You're
300.
So
also?
I have a wall full of pops, and every time I share this with these guys, they always like, "Oh, but Brian, you need to talk to Brian."
Gotta
Brian
talk to Brian.
So I'm like, this guy must be insane for them to always talk about you every single time.
You guys might be in sync.
I think at one point I maybe had like 500.
No
something,
way.
But I don't. I think I'm at
What
three.
You mean at one point? What'd you do?
Dude, it just gets a little crazy, man.
So would you just sold it? You got rid of it?
Yeah. I mean, they have. Funko has probably the most licenses out of any company in the entire world.
It's insane. I can't believe the different Funkos that I see on a regular basis going to Target. Like, they have a Breaking Bad one. They've got Game of Thrones, which thank you again for bringing the Night King and Icy Viserion Funkos to the house and just gifting us with it. So they are featured prominently here in the studio, but Like, it's insane how many different brands that have fallen under the Funko Pop experiment, I guess. Like how do they do that? Do you know how they managed to get all these licenses in place?
I couldn't say, man. They did an interview with Brian Mariotti, I think is his name, the guy that started Funko, the CEO of Funko. And he was just like, we try to go after everything. And the minute we get a license, we're going to pump out product. You know what I mean? Like, he's about first to market.
Time is money, yeah.
Like, all the time. That's why they pump out so much stuff. But it's like...
let me ask you this. Did the fact that they come out with so many different figures on a regular, consistent basis just push you to the point where you need to stop and get out?
Absolutely.
Is that the main reason why you stopped?
Yeah, I mean...
Dude, he said so, 500, okay, bro.
So I'm a fan of a lot of different lines, right? So I like, you know.
I can see him.
Yes.
Right there.
Like, I like horror. I like Disney. You know
what I mean?
Like
horrors?
Yes.
You know?
He's a single man.
That's also true. you know, I like TV shows, movies. So it's like, and they have licenses for everything. You know what I mean? So it just kind of gets like, you start buying these individually and then you're like, holy.
You can't keep up.
I have a thousand pops. You know what I mean? Like, so like for me, it started with, Animaniacs, right? I saw Wacko.
That was like, your gateway drug.
That was your first one?
Yeah, Wacko, man. And I was like, like, where am I ever going to find a Wacko pop, right? So I was like, all right, I'll get Wacko. And then I was like, well, then
you
I
can't
have
just
to
get Wacko.
Exactly. So I had to get Yakko and Dot. And then I saw Pinky and the Brain. And then it was like,
I've got the explosion. Entire series in my house right here, right now.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's too much, man.
That was the start.
Weren't they just released recently, or was that like a second release?
I actually got into this only like, maybe 3 years ago, man.
Oh, so within 3 years, you grew 500 in your collection?
Yeah, dude. That's why I had to
stop. Dude, that's an addiction right there.
Plus, it's a gateway drug into other designer vinyls.
Oh, so you said like the key phrase, because we were talking pre-show as far as you know, the Funkos and where you've gone to since. You've already mentioned that you're trying to get out of the Funko game, but you've moved on to something much more insidious and much more expensive, evidently.
Hold on. Before you get into that one, I just want to know, like, just for my own personal information, like...
His edification.
How did you get rid of him? Did you sell him on eBay, or was it...
So there's a billion Funko groups.
Yeah?
You know, and then you can just sell them locally, like most people will...
Do you just sell them as a lot, like all of them, or...
Dude, that's what I'm trying to go through now, man. I can't... It's like, I have so many commons that it's like, how do you get rid of these commons?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you sell to, like, a reseller, right? Or, like, a toy shop owner, they're going to pay you, like...
Sure, those are cool
maybe
guys.
Maybe 50 cents, a dollar for
I believe
a common,
it.
You know?
It's just like...
Wait,
we used to trade
you're
in
video losing
games.
Money on them?
Oh yeah, for the commons, yeah, because no, they overproduce.
Okay, that's a buzzword you threw out there. So just want to make so the commons, I assume, is something that is commonplace.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And they'll make like 30,000 of those. You know what I mean? So it's like easy to find anywhere.
Okay, got it. That's not, your in shoe vernacular. That's your general release, as it were. If
like,
there was another host here who could speak to that, you know, unfortunately, he is not. Anyways,
did you have a lot of those like exclusive like Comic-Con releases and the bait releases and all that stuff?
Yes.
So I do have some of the bait ones that I have are all the Bruce Lee ones.
Nice.
You know, they just make lines that like I don't see any toys of. Like are you guys familiar with like Filipino myths?
Oh man.
Like legends and stuff.
Who, Barrel
so
Man?
They do a line of it's called Myths and Legends. It's all like Asian monsters.
Really?
All right. Kaiju.
Yeah, no.
And they do these Filipino ones that I'm like, no one else is ever going to make toys of these things.
I have the foggiest idea what you're talking about, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm only adopted Filipino, so now this...
I don't know how like people want to get into how terrible, but, you know.
This addiction all right, is.
So there's, all right. So like... All right.
Get ready.
There's a Filipino...
Here we go.
It's going to be a white knuckle ride.
Right. Called an... An Aswang or a Mananangal, right?
All right.
Filipinos are going to kill me. They're going to be like, that's terrible pronunciation.
It's like a white
I was
guy
born
just
here,
popped on.
Yeah. So like, you know, don't blame me. Okay?
Understood.
You're
a Filipino-American.
But like this monster apparently like separates in half. And well,
that's no good.
This is at night. And then it finds pregnant women and like eats their fetuses, right?
What?
That's the story of this monster.
Hold up. And they made pops out of these?
I don't think Funko knows this, which is terrible.
What
right?
the but, fuck?
But like the only way to kill them is to find the lower half and kill the lower half, right? But like they hide it when they set. That's like the whole myth. Filipinos are like, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about Filipinos. I don't want to generalize Filipinos, but it's really
feel free.
Really
we generalize
up,
all the time.
Right? That's like a terrible myth.
That's a horrible myth.
It's
that's
not like
the
monster under your bed, or like it's like this is a terrible.
I don't know if I'm more disturbed by Funko making it or you buying it. Like what?
That's a fair question.
That's pretty bad.
It looks really cool though.
I don't want
to
dig.
I'm sure the depiction is very favorable to the Aswanga or the abortion Demogorgon.
Oh god! I hope no Filipinos listen to this podcast.
There's one about 50 feet from this room, so we'll see how this goes. All right. Well, I don't know how to moonwalk out of that one.
Yeah.
You're on to different.
So you're on to different ones. The premium ones.
So there'll be some that I never get rid of, like. I have the full collection of the Disney Robin Hood. That was like one of my favorite Disney.
Oh, the one with the foxes, right?
Yeah. So it has like Prince John, and then has like a platinum edition Prince John, which was only available on.
Is he actually platinum?
It's just like a different colorway.
That's false advertising.
That's what Funko does.
That's some Ja Rule conceptualization.
One pop, and then they have 700 colors of that pop.
Good lord!
And everyone buys
it. Can't be platinum if there's 700 of them.
I know,
right?
Hold up, but there's still pops.
What? Huh?
Hold up. What?
What? Wow.
Wait. What?
You're talking. Okay. So
Dude,
how much vodka have you had so far? Jesus Christ! You were talking about your Robin Hood Disney Funko Pops.
Yes.
Correct. So that's the one you're not getting rid of.
Correct.
Okay.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles I'll not get rid of also.
Okay. So you said, was there a number that you were trying to hit and maintain as far as the pops in your existing collection?
I'd like to get down below 50 if possible.
Okay. And will the next decade allow you to get to that point? Because it took you 3 years to get here. Like, will you be able to get out within the next, I don't know, 6 years?
Hopefully I get out within the next 6 months.
Okay. All right,
you have to sell it in bulk. I think that's the only way.
I mean, I think I'll always... They will, since they own so many licenses, there will always be one that I'm like, I think I might pick that one up. You know what I mean? But like, I don't actively.
It never dies.
I don't actively search anymore. You know what I mean? Which was like the thing. Like,
I gotta say,
I don't go to the mall ever anymore.
I do follow you on the Twitter. You can plug that if you like. The only tweets I ever saw from you were you grasping as a grasping ass grasper, trying to get like free giveaways from various Funko promotions.
So I would only use it for free giveaways, and also
I should have muted you immediately.
Voting for The Voice. I used to watch The Voice. It's a good show.
Used
man.
To.
I mean, the last few episodes have been episodes. The last few seasons, I feel like have been lackluster.
You're not approving of the John Legend addition to the show?
I actually haven't seen the new season. So.
It's not too bad. There's a couple artists this season where it's like, damn, that girl can sing, man.
Do you have a John Legend Funko Pop?
I don't believe there is one.
I don't think there is that.
I got to ask. They've got enough licenses. I would imagine that it's in the hopper somewhere.
I also don't think I'd buy that one.
What about no Chrissy Teigen in the collection?
No, man. You know, they did the Mariah Carey... like Santa Christmas album edition.
I just saw the Hot Topics had the Britney Spears with the snake this week.
Yeah, dude, licenses everything, man.
John is like who the hell are these motherfuckers?
I'm gonna throw all my Funkos into a walk after this show and just get rid of this whole conundrum.
But I'm moving on, man.
Okay, so you're on to something different. So you have, would you say this is advanced collection in the vinyl figure game? Or just like a diversion, like a new kink.
I don't know how this happened, actually. So
it wasn't enough to get 500 Funkos.
I have friends that are into collecting like Funko vinyl, and then they also collected other stuff, and they just kept sharing stuff, you know?
What do you mean sharing? Like giving you
links?
Oh,
dude,
like,
check
hey,
this out. Oh,
it's
dude,
going on sale in a week.
Yeah, check this out. This is limited edition 25. And you're like, oh, that's not very many. I want one of those.
Well, name yeah. names. What exactly are you
what
really
are
speaking
they?
To? Like, what are these, I guess, designer vinyls?
Okay, so there's one artist. He's a Filipino artist.
Shocker.
His name is Quix, Quicks.
Okay.
But he does these limited edition, like, statues. It's like a dude with a... hoodie and a skull helmet. I mean, I feel like you have to bring it up.
This
really
seems
terrible.
Worth the money.
But he's had like collaborations with like Nike and like other stuff, like Cause. You know what I mean? Like you guys are familiar with Cause. He does like
right.
the Uniqlo shirt
yep.
stuff. But his statues go for You know who caused this?
I think I have an acute awareness, but
he,
go on.
He does like the X's over the eyes.
The current one is like the Sesame Street one.
Yeah, he does like the X's over that. They did Snoopy.
Was he the bad guy in Batman Begins, Ka's al Ghul?
Oh, man. I don't even know what with Ka's.
Oh. Like, I'm not
I thought
hip.
You were like a hype beast.
I am so far from being aware
the brother,
of anything.
The other one.
Wrong host.
See,
different
he would
show.
Know Ka's.
He totally would.
But like his statues probably sell for like $200-$250 retail, right? But if you get a limited edition, they resell for like $1,000-$1,500.
Hot damn.
Like, it's crazy.
Okay, so there is a monetary component to this, or there is a capitalistic component to this.
A little bit. Well, is that your main driving motivation to pick these up is purely for the investment, or is it for yourself?
Oh, it's for myself.
Okay. Like so you don't plan on selling these?
You ain't flipping.
No, I mean, I have these three little burgers that are shaped like elephants, right? They're like, it's called Elfie, right?
How is this possible?
They're limited edition, oh, and they're God. Awesome.
In a
they're,
society.
They're awesome, dude. If you saw one, you'd be like, that's awesome.
They sound delicious, but I don't know about their resale value.
No, the resale value is good.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But you've not, like, for how many of these designer vinyls have you purchased at this point?
I'm maybe at, like, you know, 10 to 15. Nothing crazy.
And average per case price?
I mean, they probably 200. Retail, like, 70 to 150. I mean, the most I've ever spent was 220.
That's not too ridiculous.
And it was this dude named Joe Ledbetter, and he just does these like.
Does he make putters?
No, I mean.
Oh no, that's David. Just, like, really, I stand corrected.
You know, I don't know. I see a lot of art. Like, I used to go to AwesomeCon. I mean, you guys are familiar with AwesomeCon, I'm sure.
Oh, you know, I only learned about AwesomeCon through you.
Wow, that's terrible. It's been running for like
it's local, right?
10 years. I feel
is that
like.
The one that's, at Mason Fairfax?
No, man, no? It's at Convention Center.
Walter. That's the one that that Liam was talking about.
Okay, fair. Yeah, fair. Oh yeah, you know, yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura. He went to that one.
Yeah.
If anything in this area is ever going to rival or get close to San Diego Comic Con, it's gonna be awesome.
Awesome Con. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe but you're saying it does not at this point.
Oh no, dude! But they have the like entire bottom floor of the Walter E. Washington Convention Center.
It's a
like
big
it's
ass.
Huge.
It's a big center.
And
that's
it's
where they have
days.
The auto show.
It's that, worth that, the 3 days. I think if you're gonna go.
Huge.
I never go for 3 days, but it's worth it.
Why would you?
I can't imagine going
dude,
for 3 days.
Dude, the people
days.
Watching is awesome. If you guys don't like people watching, then it's not
all,
for you.
You know what? The cosplay, they all dressed up.
Yeah, just like. Oh. Just
I like watching that.
The amount of work some people put into these.
Keep it in your pants, Jesus Christ. You know what's better? Don't even go to the con. Go to the ramen restaurant like a block
right across the street.
A block away from the damn con.
Could we?
Well, we're going to do that.
You want to hang out over there?
I've been there. It's weird, man.
Why don't we just all go to the con and then you guys can have a show about it?
They need to have like a beer garden right in front of the convention center where we could just camp out all day and just watch people and then bring them in. Just like, hey, come here.
Dude, people just sit out there sometimes, dude.
What are you gonna like lure them over with like Funko Pops or like Japanese snacks?
We
like
could
the
be
hell?
We could be recording all day.
Oh my god!
Honestly, I would.
You could be on the internet.
If I didn't get tickets to San Diego Comic Con, I would do the same exact thing if I lived in San Diego.
Well, I'm not sure you've actually listened to our show, but I'm not gonna hold that against you. This guy used to live in San Diego. We talked at length at how he lived there for a couple of years and. Did you make it out for one?
I made it out for one. Okay. And it wasn't like I tried going the normal route of getting your normal tickets, but it's hard to get in because it's the whole lottery process.
I'm guessing they don't have that same problem here for Awesome Con.
I
don't think so. But
I mean, I think they do sell out on Saturday and Friday probably. But.
Yeah. But it was
depending
a
on the guest.
Pain in the ass. But luckily I had a coworker that got tickets for him and his girlfriend, and she didn't want to go. Oh, she didn't want to go on the first day.
So then you became
his
girlfriend.
So I was like, it does, literally. I was like, can I get that pass off of you?
I'll put out.
Let me know how it works, though, because like, I don't know how I'm going to get through security and all that. They're just like, dude, like, they really don't check. So even though it has like a girl's name, but then the girl's name was so like kind of like random anyway, so they're just like, oh, you could probably pass. They don't check ID or
anything. Do you mean random?
You know, it's like one of those names where it's like gender
I'm
neutral.
Esmeralda. I'm here for the con.
It's like Pat. Is Pat a guy or girl? You know? You don't
That's
know.
Fair.
So
I got
so if you see a Pat, you're just like, okay, come on in.
I'm Chris Jenner.
So yeah.
Please allow me admission.
Like I was nervous, like going up, like waiting in line, getting up to the front door, and then I was just like I could have been shaking, but then like when I got there, I showed them my badge and they're just like, go on in. I was like, I was like, I made it. And you walk in and you hear the angels singing, you hear all that stuff. I was like, oh, it's amazing. And then, dude, it's just overwhelming. So I'm assuming AwesomeCon is to some degree that, where you just walk in and it's just like,
well, now you have
vendors everywhere. You got like the main stage. You got all the stuff.
I feel like we need to put together like a Kickstarter to send Brian to the Comic-Con just so he can have the point of reference between Comic-Con and the shit dick rendition that is AwesomeCon in DC.
Everyone,
I'm sure it's still cool.
I feel like a ticket to go. Everyone in life needs to experience Comic-Con. I think.
Do we?
I really do. Whether you're into that, you know, comics or anything, it's like you really need to experience it. And I was telling them on the show, it's more than just what's in the convention center. It's a block party. There's parties all over town, and everywhere you go, there's like hot like cosplay chicks everywhere. And there's
I think we know where your focus is for this event.
I mean, I think it's worth going. Even if you don't get tickets, I think it's worth at least one day being like, I'm just gonna hang out for a couple hours outside of the convention center and just. Dude, the amount people of people watch. That are just into it, it's crazy, dude.
Man, I need to be out on the street just slinging boba. Because I guarantee you'd make a killing for that crowd, man.
I mean, it's California, so it would have to be like super, you know, green boba.
What the fuck?
So healthy. It has to be super healthy.
All right.
I mean? Avocado boba. Yeah.
I'm just there saying. Like, they're
what the hell did you just say? You know, we have to go back and cut that. I have to figure out what was just said because it sounded like avocado boba, but I don't think it was avocado boba.
You can cut out what I said about Californians being
super
really
green,
super
bro.
Healthy. I feel like it's a good thing though, so I don't know why they would be mad about it.
They shouldn't be. All right, well,
but speaking of Comic-Con, I think that's where a couple years ago, that's where, you know, like when I went there, I was trying to go to like some of the main stages where they do these like. You know, the big announcements of like the big movies, and then you
Hall
see
all, H.
Yeah, so you see all the celebrities come, and then it's like a whole big ordeal, and then you get like a sneak peek of like some sort of like little clip or something.
Snippet.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it's John Lithgow.
So I really wanted to get in, but I didn't realize the line was insanely long, so I didn't do it. But I think that's where they announced that Brie Larson was going to be Captain Marvel, right?
Yeah.
At the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Envy Adams.
San Diego Comic-Con became like, I feel like it used to be just like comic-centered, and then now it's just entertainment-centered.
I mean, you can argue the merits of kind of pivoting in that direction, but at this point in society, there's nothing bigger than like comic book movies, specifically Marvel films, and now they finally have the namesake for Marvel. I mean, she wasn't the inspiration for the name Marvel, but they've dubbed her as such, Captain Marvel. The movie premiered just last week. I'll say two of our three hosts tonight have seen the show, so we're seen the film, so we're gonna try to do a spoiler-free review of the movie. But just as far as the premiere of the movie. It's pretty
well.
It's pretty standard at this rate for a Marvel film, especially coming off the heels of Infinity War, but Ant-Man and the Wasp, all that stuff.
A lot of commotion though. Like I thought, like people were trying to like sabotage the release.
They made so much about it. Like, and Brie Larson didn't do the film any favors either by coming out and saying we don't need white men to review the film. And you know, a lot of that, the comments that she made were taken out of context, but I think it just kind of put things off on the wrong foot leading up to the premiere of the movie. But it still did gangbusters at $153 million, $524 million international as of just Tuesday.
Just a couple of days, right?
So, yeah. So like Friday to Tuesday, they raked in $500 million across the world.
That's insane. Is that good?
I think it's pretty good. Yeah, I think
like comparatively, like what's?
I think they're halfway to Aquaman, which was out for like 3 months, and they got to a billion. So.
That is also DC. I mean,
but evidently DC Aquaman is like the one of the highest grossing DC films ever. Yeah. I think they've already surpassed all the Dark Knight movies.
DC fanboys were like, crazy. We have to make this DC universe work.
And can
then,
I tell you
and
how
then it didn't?
I mean, the universe didn't work. We probably talked about this in previous episodes. That movie's not good. Yeah. Aquaman sucks.
I didn't see it actually.
You have good lord.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you.
There's no.
I don't rush to it.
Yeah, it's not appointment viewing. It's not like watching Into the Spider-Verse, which we still talk about. That came out.
You have to watch
December.
That. You really do.
So if you prioritize anything, do that one. We're talking about the box office numbers. Like Captain Marvel killed, and it just speaks to the name value of the Marvel films and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And everybody's jazzed up about everything going on with, ever since Infinity War. Because even Ant-Man, which is just kind of like a middling comedy kind of flick, that ended up being a pretty successful movie in and of itself, just kind of off the...
I think they all do.
Somehow. They all do well. There's no disputing it. Like, you slap the name on it, if it's better than 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, you're going to rake in a billion, like, without question.
Like, how many Marvel movies have there been?
I think we're, pushing 21, 22?
Yeah, they're in that realm. 20s, yeah.
I was going to say Ant-Man wasn't, like, my top 10, but that's actually, like, since there's only 22, I feel like that's not that good. but I really liked Ant-Man. Like, I feel like they did a very good job with...
Wait, Ant-Man or Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I mean, Ant-Man and the Wasp was entertaining. Yeah. I thought the fight scenes were really well choreographed, actually. Yeah. But I just think they did...
Still, funny. A
great job of...
It's a different type
framing
of Marvel
the character
film. Yeah.
To Paul Rudd as opposed to making Paul Rudd fit a
right
mold. You know what I mean?
Which
I
think he wouldn't be believable as like your traditional like hero. You know,
absolutely.
So I think I totally agree. I think that's where they did a great job.
Word.
He's like, I don't want to talk about that.
Very good. Sorry, I was distracted slightly because we have something lined up for another show that I have to attend to. So my apologies, mea culpa. But we gush over these Marvel movies on the show. We gush online. Like, it's weird to see like for there to be any type of backlash whatsoever. So I feel like this was kind of the first instance where. There was any negative publicity going into a Marvel film, but they weathered through it. There wasn't anything that really affected the performance of the film. And I think this week they're projecting another 60-70 million, some of which will
insane.
Come from Brian. Hopefully,
that's true.
Yeah.
So getting,
be a little prepared, God damn
it. I won't pirate it. Yeah. I'll watch it for real.
No, and you know what? I'll
watch
say
the
this.
Damn thing, you
so
bitch.
If you heard like some of the past episodes where we did talk a little bit about it when the trailer came out. I don't think any of us were butt-sized
so
to watch
underwhelmed.
I would agree with that.
Like, and you can tell they even ramped up the promotions like leading up to this release. Like they started doing additional campaigns. They started putting more posters. They're coming up with like
new slogans,
new stupid slogans,
higher, that, further, faster.
And it was just like nothing
deeper,
caught on.
Harder.
And then it was just like you just can tell Marvel was reaching with this one. So like I think with that, like I went in expecting to watch crap, and I have to say, like I walked out actually kind of entertained. Like I actually don't think that was a terrible movie. Would I say it's one of the better ones?
That's really setting the bar low there, but I understand. Where
no,
you're
no,
from.
Like without getting too specifics, I don't think it was a great like your typical like Marvel where you walk out and you're just like, damn. Dude, that's a must own, a must watch. I go watch it again tomorrow. It's amazing. And for the character that it is, you know, how huge of a character Captain Marvel is for the universe. Like you were like expecting a lot, but then, you know, like I wasn't disappointed. And, but I wouldn't say it's one of the better movies that they've made. And, I'm trying to like dance around this really lightly without.
Okay, aside from the fact that they've built her up, we've gotten rumblings about what she could do as far as her powers. Mm-hmm. A lot of the comics have built her up to be the most powerful Avenger. Or at least the publications leading up to the release mm-hmm. of the movie have said that she's the most powerful Avenger.
Yeah.
Aside from that, if they didn't tell you that up front. Would you have known?
No.
Would you have been like that jazzed up or had that kind of name recognition with Captain Marvel?
Well, it's like, I guess it's.
Did you know who Carol Danvers was?
Not Carol, no. But exactly. Then if you heard Captain Marvel, you're like, okay, they have the Marvel name. Like, they must be a substantial character, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, to actually have the Marvel name. But, you know, for me, initially, I was just like, oh, this is just Marvel trying to make their own Wonder Woman. That's all it was. But. I think they actually did a really good job of trying to, like, I heard they took slight liberties on her origin story.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back at the pantheon of Marvel films, they've taken liberties with all of the big name characters. That's true. Iron Man wasn't necessarily kidnapped by Muslim terrorists when he was originally conceptualized. I know. Shocking fact.
I'm going to have to watch these again.
But I mean, they've done what they've had to kind of, I mean, retcon's really not the appropriate phrase for it, but they've gone back and just tweaked certain aspects of these character stories in their origins to fit an overall narrative and a modern day storytelling construct for these individual characters. So I think they've done reading where Captain Marvel came from, which in the comics originally, and where they actually portrayed her in the film. I see where they went with it, and I understand it. It makes perfect sense to me.
So I'll start with what I really loved about the movie without spoiling anything. I mean, you kind of got a sense of it through the trailers, but I love the nostalgia of everything. Like the effort to go to bring that, like bring the age of like where the time of when that movie was shot. I mean, everyone saw it through the trailers. You saw the Blockbuster videos reference in the
That's
movie.
Not spoiling anything, right, Brian?
You saw all the Blockbuster videos, right?
I mean, you wouldn't want to spoil the movie for the listeners either, right? You guys just regularly spoil movies?
We don't go out of our way. We'll give a... If there's a spoiler coming, we'll say spoiler alert.
Yeah.
The kids would say.
If it wasn't in the trailer, I won't go too deep into it. But, a lot of these things, and they really did a great job of like trying to capture the time of when it was. I'm gonna guess it was like in the '90s, right?
Mid-90s.
Yeah, because like in some of the background of the audience, you see like, you know, Walkmans or Discmans, and you see like there's some scenes where like there's references to computers with dial up and your traditional like CD-ROMs, and it's just kind of funny. There's a lot of these little
good old days.
Yeah, the references to like the stuff that we've been through growing up, which I just appreciate. I really did.
The soundtrack is basically a Now One.
Right?
The first time they ever came up with a Now, that's what they call music.
A really great reference.
Yeah, so yeah. Prepare for that. it's cool in certain spots, but I mean...
It's a bit much in certain...
They went over the top in trying to give you the impression that this film was set in the 90s. So, I mean, credit to them for trying to set the scene, but I think it was a little ham-fisted.
And I couldn't figure out like the effect that they put on Samuel Jackson with like they somehow made him really look young.
Is that a weave?
Like it's like I don't know if that's all it was or there
seems
was
like a lot of CGI.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more that went into it, but they got him to look young. They got Phil Coulson,
son of Cole.
Yeah, they look really young, and
sometimes too young.
I was just like, how'd you do that? That's amazing, man. That's really, really amazing.
3D animation capabilities.
You know, these kids in the internet, man. They can do anything.
I really loved a lot of that. I loved the effects. I really like some of the things you saw in Captain Marvel at the end of the movie, and just like all
the
effects.
Go right for it, right to the end.
No, I mean I'm not going to talk about it, but just like when she actually like you see what she's capable of doing, and they kind of go into all the effects and stuff. I thought seeing bits of it in the trailer, I thought was cheesy, but for some reason in the movie, I kind of got steamed up seeing it. I was just like, yeah, I wanted more.
So that worked for you.
It really did.
Okay.
Not in the trailer, but in the movie it did. Somehow they did it in a way that it did work for me.
Fair.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, overall.
So that's what you liked. What did you not like?
Ah, God. I could get a lot of heat for this, but.
Okay. Top two things you didn't like. Top two.
It's weird because I like Brie Larson and I don't like Brie Larson.
That's really confusing for the purposes of this show.
So I like Brie Larson because there's certain parts of the movie I'm like, that girl's kind of hot, man. She looks good. Like she's a great Captain Marvel.
And then
there's
right.
other parts.
You
where,
will catch heat for this. Sorry.
Oh, and then there's other parts in the movies where I'm just off. Like, wow. She's just so like, she was a little... dry like
I think the phrase that I've heard most frequently or prevalently, I tried to combine the two words and said prevalently frequently, was that very wooden in her just stoic's not even the word, like wooden I think is an appropriate characterization, because I mean just going like Brian, you could from just seeing the trailers, did she seem a little stiff?
I mean, that's what I was going to say is the reason I'm not excited to see the movie.
Nor should you be.
I just didn't see any emotion like in any part of the trailer at all, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, and that's what killed me in the movie, where like there's scenes where like you expect it to like start seeing depth in the character and the personality, but it kind of stayed exactly at surface level.
It was exactly as you saw it in the trailer, I think. So if you're expecting to see a vastly different version of that character on screen, it's exactly what you saw in the trailer, honestly.
It's very disappointing. I don't think it takes away from the film too much, but it really does. Like, you're just like you're waiting for the moment where you, like, she starts to grow on you, and you're just like, oh, she's you know, it's perfectly casted, and it's like, you know, there's times where you're like, you know, if they replaced her tomorrow, and then you're like, you're not gonna be heartbroken about it, you know.
But because, I mean, I was talking with John about this earlier, but
she did
play a good part in Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
So like I expected her to kind of like in the movie there is going to be, you know,
like her character
expansion on the character. Yeah. You know,
a little more punched up because it seems like, I don't know if it was just like me when you watched the trailer initially, you thought, okay, maybe they cut this trailer really weird where she just comes up really
flat.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
But 2 hours into the film, you're like, man, they really didn't do anything out of the norm. Like, they didn't cut this up any differently to make her come off that way. That's just how she was in this film. And it's maddening because we've seen her act very well and with personality in other movies. Scott Pilgrim, as you said, she was in the Godzilla reboot. Godzilla? King Kong? I don't know. One of those things. King Kong. Sorry, it was King Kong thing with Samuel L. Jackson. Hey, how about that?
Hey!
Yeah, there's the connection.
With Samuel Jackson?
Yeah. We brought the wrong person on for this episode. We've seen her ability to, you know, emote, and it just kind of sucks that she's very limited in this particular role. So you didn't like that, Ice.
Yeah, but the parts that she begins to rub off on you, like, I really do feel like somehow, like, between Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson, they developed some sort of chemistry where it felt good, like, when they were interacting with one another on screen, where it's like, then you kind of saw a side of her that you're just like, okay, this could become cool, and then it stopped. It stopped at that surface level where she just felt stiff again, and I don't know. It was like you wanted more, but I think there's something with those two where there's some comfort. Maybe because
good chemistry.
Yeah, because they did other movies together. I don't know, but it was good. I actually really liked it.
Good to hear. Okay. For me personally, I'm gonna do my best to walk this razor's edge of not spoiling the film for our friend and compatriot tonight, Mr. Brian.
Just go for it, dude.
I was
no, don't.
I talked about it. The trailers left very much to be desired as far as the hype going into the movie. I didn't feel like there was any real reason to be invested in the character of Captain Marvel just based on the trailers. There wasn't much substance. Every single trailer looked the exact same.
Yeah.
So, again, the wooden characterization or the portrayal of the character from Brie Larson, and then you get into the movie, and it's very much the same. I will say, a lot of the jokes that I knew the writers and directors thought were going to just murder were met with complete and utter silence. It was so awkward. Imagine like the first 30, 40 minutes of the movie where they're just like bing, 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 like just one-liners and like 90s reference and hey, you guys remember Blockbuster? Well, here it is. And like you're expecting like rip-roaring laughter and applause. Nothing. Just no, I don't know if it's just my theater, but they no-sold it, and did you feel the same?
Yeah, no, totally. I think there was times where I gave it one of those like sympathetic chuckles, just like
yeah, it's like when like a celebrity's on SNL and says that scene was lit AF or something like that.
You're like
they're pandering to certain audiences. So instead of pandering to millennials, they're pandering to the 90s babies or 80s babies that are there for the film that would understand that, but even then, it just didn't seem to come off. It seemed very ham-fisted, to say the least. So there's that.
Was there a reference to like JNCO jeans or something?
No, unfortunately. No. Not a lot of representation from JNCOs in this
not
film.
Not for the Asians. Come on, no.
Yeah. You know, when Shang-Chi comes out, that's going to be what we're going to shine.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. Well, why would you? Honestly, I found out about this movie in hindsight, reading through the trades.
Can I just say, like, since I haven't seen the movie, obviously.
Again, not holding it against
that,
you.
Like, I think that the reason a lot of people weren't excited about Captain Marvel is because every other character that they introduced in the Marvel Universe, I feel like, had a small scene in a prior film when you're like, I know what to expect. You know what I mean? Spider-Man came out.
It's true.
Black Panther came out. You know, like, every person they introduced, it's like, oh, they had a little cameo beforehand, so it's like, I know what to expect.
There was a tease.
Captain Marvel was like, oh, call blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, what's his face?
Call blah, blah, blah.
Call Captain Marvel. I don't know what they called her. I don't know what Samuel Jackson called her. Like, you know.
Well, we have he just said shit and started hitting his page.
Yeah, I mean, did he say call Carol Danvers? I don't remember. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there was no, you don't know what to expect. You know?
Yeah, no.
I mean, unless you're like really into Marvel.
We had this debate a while back where we're just like Guardians of the Galaxy was probably the only other Marvel movie where they came out with zero like introduction prior, right?
That kind of works against your argument.
Because that was the only one that came out. No one knew who the hell they were.
But there was an immediate hook in the trailer that they released for the show. So you talk about how they tease the characters to get people hooked into some of the other guys that have been introduced into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
The trailer for Guardians was what got people on board, and on a massive scale. I remember they did that on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and then like it. I don't watch late night television. And if you're a grown adult or if you're anybody below the age of 50, why the hell would you? But the next morning, the very next morning, that was the only thing that people were talking about. Like at 8 in the morning, like tweets, Instagram, like everyone's freaking out about the Guardians trailer. So I think instead of just outright introducing the characters for that movie, which was seen destined to fail, they do that. They found the right avenue and they got those characters right up front and center, and they made it. They set the bar, the expectation for that movie. So I think that's where they hit it instead of trying to like drop those guys into another movie.
That's fair.
But all that aside, so we kind of went in cold with this Captain Marvel character, and you didn't have much to go on with the trailers. But there are aspects of the movie that, you know, I'll say this from the entire movie in and of itself. I came away happy, perfectly entertained. I was just nervous for a long stretch. Like, man, like I hope the jokes get better. I hope there's more action. I hope there's going to be something in the storyline that gets me to care at a certain point. And they eventually got there. But again, yeah. I don't think it's as engrossing as some of the other Marvel films. I guess my biggest criticism, and I said this immediately to the wife, we know Nick Fury to be this badass, mm-hmm. right? Like, Brian, I'll ask you, since you haven't seen the movie, like, how do you conceive or perceive Nick Fury to this point?
To be badass. Okay. I mean, I'll say this. We were talking about Funkos earlier.
Yes.
I have a Samuel L. Jackson collection of Funkos.
Oh, no way.
Like, that's one's...
Wait, he has a series, his own individual series.
All the various characters?
So there's, like, you know, him from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, the bad motherfucker.
The Hateful Eight. Okay. And then I have the Frozone. Because he does
Frozone.
Oh, my God.
So there's, like, 8 or 9 that are, like, you know, that are Samuel L. Jackson, played by Samuel L. Jackson.
Very cool.
I'll never get rid of them.
But it's because he's such a bad ass.
Yeah.
But in, the Marvel series exclusively, all these 20-odd movies, he's been nothing... he's been portrayed as nothing but the baddest MF-er on the planet. Like, he'll do some greasy shit to get stuff done and you know, achieve his mission.
Yeah, I mean, now that I think about it, though, I feel like it's all perceived because you don't really see him fight that often, I feel like. He shoots some guns every now and then, yeah. You know what I mean?
But this is the example that I cited when I was talking with the wife. Captain America Winter Soldier, the director played by Robert Redford, was talking about Colombia and this gnarly shit that he did. To get them out of a sticky situation.
Yeah, I remember that scene.
So, he's done some really awful things, and he's been characterized as being nothing but that. To where he ascended to the highest levels of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. You don't get there without getting your hands dirty.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have that backdrop, and for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because they're trying to put over a female character, a female superhero, but for 2 hours, he is the he is the goofball. He shucking and jiving. I don't mean that in a racial sense, but he's the comedic relief in so many scenes of that movie, which isn't to say that he's not good at it, but it's so weird to have those two portrayals of Nick right. Fury kind of side by side. And they give the explanation to aspects of his character, which I won't go into to spoil it for Brian. But they explain certain things, and you're just kind of like, huh, that's it? That's all that really got that explains how he gets to this point to be the Nick Fury that we know of. It seems a little lazy. It seems like they really didn't do their I don't know if it's a something you can throw at the feet of the directors, the writer. Like they didn't do their research enough to say, okay, this is how he's been to this point. You know, maybe we should try to stick with the theme, or you know.
My guess is at some point he may get his own movie. Like once they start reaching a little bit, but for now
he might get a Disney Plus series.
Do you want to see that though, really?
I mean, do you want to see Black Widow, the show,
not
the movie?
At all. Not okay. at all.
But 100%. They're making that, right?
They are.
If I have to see this is not no disrespect, Scarlett.
Oh my Johansson. God!
But if I have to see Scarlett Johansson jump onto somebody's neck and twist around and break their neck one more time, I swear to God, she does it
that's
17 times.
She does it for
every movie.
She does it for 20 minutes every movie.
If I'm a bad guy, it's like I've seen you do that one. I'm not gonna. I'm not falling for that. You know.
Hey, she has a really
block,
good triangle.
You know.
Block.
Block. I know you can't see me right now, but my hands are up. Like block.
This is
an
audio medium. I need to reinforce
that. Just saying.
We'll get on the Instagram at some point.
I would have rather they did a Hawkeye movie. To be honest.
That guy. If anyone who has eaten enough shit. For about, I don't know, like 24 movies, like he should probably get the payoff to have his own show or film. But
yeah, more so like the Ronin character. I'd love just to see like what that story's about.
Oh, right? God.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of into like people with bows and arrows also.
Yeah.
So, like Legolas
Robin,
was awesome.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, Robin Hood.
Okay,
like,
it's all coming
Legolas
back now.
Legolas was awesome. I mean,
I get it.
Even Kevin Costner was good as Robin Hood. You know what I mean?
Do you have a Kevin Costner Funko?
No, I do not. Oh, I would buy one though. I would. I would totally buy
the Bodyguard.
Just go ahead and just put your credit card number out there. To
probably not
happen.
A bodyguard one, but like a Robin Hood Prince of Thieves one, I would buy that one.
Oh, I love the Bodyguard.
Of course movie. You would.
Yeah,
wait,
I mean, like all I remember is that it was Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner.
I love
and
the scene.
He was a bodyguard.
I mean, I love the scene when
it?
He was in
the titular
snow.
Bodyguard.
You know, remember the snow scene when he was like trying to shoot and he was using his ears and he was just like, quit all.
Yeah, no.
No.
Brilliant.
Yeah, you invited the wrong person because I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know what the hell's going on either.
God.
I've been
guys,
here for I've been here for 25 weeks with this guy. How?
He got Jungle Fever too. It's a great movie.
Oh my God. You're cut off, bro. Jesus Christ. We were talking about Captain Marvel. How did we get to Jungle Fever? Okay, I thought the movie was fine. That's my end summary of the film.
I would say don't skip it. You know, it's better than what it seems based
it's
on
not
the trailer.
Awful, okay?
It's not awful.
It's not awful. So I think from the trailers...
Rating.
I'll give a rating, but from the trailers, I came in with the expectation that it was actually going to be like a 2 level, like 2 out of 5,
mm-hmm.
and that's and to put it in perspective, I feel like it's akin to where Captain America was in the when they were in the lead up to the first Avengers movie, where they were successful, they hit bang bang bang, like mm-hmm. the Iron Man bang hit Thor hit bang. Even the Incredible Hulk movie, which didn't really end up correlating as much because they had to recast the Hulk.
That was okay.
That one hit. Yeah. So they had this string of hits with their films leading up to the Avengers, and they're right to the penultimate one with Captain America, and I swear they were just like, please, God, do not fuck this up. they just fell to the feet of the director. I think it's Joe Johnston, the guy who directed The Rocketeer. Like, they were just begging for this guy not to screw up the last movie before Avengers. And the movie was okay. Captain America, I think I can go back and watch. But it was just okay. And I think Captain Marvel is in that same vein, in that, man, we got this. We got to get everybody jazzed up for Endgame. Please, sweet baby Jesus, don't fuck this up. And this falls in that same vein in that it's just okay. It's perfectly fine. I didn't hate it. I didn't feel attacked by all the feminist messages and everything that they were trying to bombard us with as far as the social commentary. So mm-hmm. if they can balance those two aims where they can make a decent movie and try to force feed you some educational lessons about equality, I think we can walk that line. You can make it. It'll be perfectly fine. So I'll say end of the day, 3.5.
Nice.
Did you give a rating?
Yeah, not yet, but okay.
You're holding out?
Yeah, no.
There's not much show left, guy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll do rating first, 3.5. I totally agree. I think that's where my heart is set. I think it's slightly better than the trailers. I don't think it had the impact of, I'm glad you brought it up, but just like kind of like setting up for this grand movie. I mean, last year.
Grand finale, bro.
Last year you had Black Panther leading up Infinity Wars, and I felt like that was such a cool movie.
That was a triumph.
Yeah.
Can I tell you how many times I've gone back and watched Black Panther?
That's such a good movie. God. So I think that did a great job setting up for Infinity War.
Do I see consternation at that end of the table?
I was just going to say that, I mean, people were going to come out for Black Panther regardless.
Like, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I mean, it was a great movie. I loved it.
Yeah, but
I
think
it was
a great
entire
movie.
Collection
though.
Of Funko Pops. But.
That's his basis for everything.
Did it make me buy it?
Do I want to buy the pops?
But that's how you should feel buying Funko Pops, because they have 10,000 licenses.
Right. I feel like we need to bleep every time he says Funkos, because it's bordering on fuck. But you know,
he's probably getting cut. But 3.5. I think it's a solid 3.5. Yeah.
That's fair. Okay. Well, I don't know. We had a few minutes left. And are you gonna watch the film?
What, Captain Marvel?
This weekend? You have it scheduled, planned?
I mean, I don't really schedule movies.
Oh Jesus Christ!
But yeah, I'm
single
gonna see
life.
I'm gonna
God,
see it.
That's such a great life.
Fair.
100% gonna watch the movie in theaters.
Okay, understood. Well, there's. It doesn't sound there's a lot of urgency on your end to watch that movie, but there's a little urgency for us now because we've just seen Captain Marvel, but I think the big story as far as trailers. Sorry, let me backtrack one step. They dropped another Endgame trailer, and honestly, I took a quick dive into it before the show. It didn't really move me.
No.
Not at all. And if anything, I feel like we're getting to that point. Like, when we talked about Endgame initially and seeing the first trailers, we thought, okay, did we really need to get a trailer out of this? Like, did they need to do the Super Bowl trailer? And kind of agreed that they didn't have to, but it was still nice to see.
Yeah.
I think now we've hit that breaking point. Like, okay, you got it. Back it off. Like, I don't
chill
need,
out, man.
My money is spent. Like, I've been invested. Like,
yeah, people are gonna watch it regardless.
2008. That's when you had my money, like in your pocket. Yeah. So, I didn't need to see like any more reveals. And unfortunately, I feel like they revealed a little too much. In a couple of scenes, but I'm not going to double down on that.
They almost did the DC thing where they just give you the whole movie. It's just like, dude, just keep it in your pants, man.
Just let me experience it. Like
you had me at hello. You didn't have to show me anything else. Just
you didn't like the Armageddon scene at the end?
I don't want to see. Really, for this movie, I don't want to see.
It's the trailer.
I don't want to see.
You're about to spoil the entire movie. Walk out the Marvel, and you're mad that I'm going to say something about the trailer?
I'll walk out of here right now. We got Taco Bell like banging down the door any second.
Yeah. So I would just say it. It
didn't really add anything to
no,
the conversation.
I'm still excited. I'm definitely gonna go watch it. I think this is one of those movies where I'm more inclined to watch it.
We're inside 45 days now.
Like the opening night. Like I think that would be one that I would try to do. But
it's gonna be their opening night for Aladdin.
That's the
bigger trailer news for me
this
week.
That really is. Aladdin, I would, man. Like, okay.
Don't swallow your tongue being so excited for Aladdin.
Let me rewind one second. But basically, I'm more grown up. I was more of a Beauty and the Beast fan. So I really love what they did with Beauty and the Beast, because Beauty and the Beast was I don't
this version though.
You don't like, sorry, you don't like Pebble?
I'm just saying, like, you could have brought this. This isn't even the Leo Salonga version. Come on, man. I'm Filipino American. I'm sitting over here.
This guy
at least queued up the. All right, my bad.
Sorry. He's gonna die on a hill for the Leo Salonga version of the whole new world.
So you know, with Beauty and the Beast, when they recreated that, they wanted to stay so true to the original that they did a shot for shot of the movie. They everything about it was shot for shot. The music, where it came in, all the scenes, the way they sang it, everything was really tried to be a replica of the original with some subtle, very, very subtle changes. What's up?
So
he has his hand raised.
There's a hand raised in the studio, guys.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, please. So like, you're not excited for like The Lion King either, because like I feel like that was like shot for shot the movie of Lion King.
But I am. I'm a big fan of the shot for shot. So I'm a huge fan of Beauty and the Beast. I'm a fan of Lion King trailer, which is a shot for shot. So I thought this was going to follow that pattern of being shot for shot for Aladdin, but I don't think it is.
You just want to see the same movie again?
I mean, when a movie has that kind of impact on your childhood, like you kind of want to relive it again, but improve, not necessarily improve by them taking liberties and changing a few things, but like you want to see like all the modern technology, you know, take on your that classic. So seeing the trailer, you know, I'm assuming you saw the original one that they teased like a couple weeks back,
the
right?
Teaser, yeah.
Yeah, so
Jafar, yeah,
this was Jafar.
Yeah,
I have to ask you about that. I'm not a big fan, man.
Wait, of Jafar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Why is Jafar so like?
Because everybody got a steaming, rumbling in their tummy, or they got the steaming undies for the hot brown guy. So
if you remember the cartoon, like Jafar has that like that evil, sinister voice, and then here he is.
Yeah, so
like,
they screwed it up.
Hey, lad.
I feel like they didn't even hit him on like the age level. Like,
I know.
I feel like Jafar is like. Right? I imagine Jafar to be like mid-50s.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like an old Cretan. You know what I mean?
He needs to be Ben Kingsley with a turban on,
yes,
basically.
Exactly.
Ice just slapped me. Jesus Christ. All right, we got to wrap this up. So we're. It sounds like you are fully on board.
So I'm excited with this. I think I'm a little nervous because they're tweaking certain things. I think some of it has like some of the scenes, like while I'm sure it'll be fine, like I have full faith in Disney, it felt a little Bollywoodish. I think having,
is that a bad thing?
It wasn't like it's not what the original classic was, but it's a slight variant of it. And it needs to
be different, though.
Yeah, like,
you keep talking about like the shot for shot remakes. Like, yes, it's cool to see that, but I don't think it's going. You're gonna have a generation that is gonna be able to see both of the renditions of the film. So to have two films exactly the same, except one's got people and one doesn't, it's not gonna serve. It's not gonna bring any extra value to watching that movie for a second time. So,
but they won't, though.
You don't think they will?
I feel like generation.
These goddamn millennials.
No, I was just gonna say like I feel like they don't watch stuff beyond like 10, 15 years ago nowadays. I have coworkers that are like 27, 28, right? I brought up Jerry Maguire.
I just
want to
pistol whip them.
They were like, who? And I was like, Jerry Maguire. Like, how do you not know Jerry Maguire? It wasn't really that long ago.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like our generation, we kind of dove into like 70s and like 80s. Like, I'm familiar with people in the 70s and 80s. You know,
there's reverence that you want to discover.
I feel like the new generations don't go back that far. I feel like it's also, you know, so much information that you can only remember so much also. But
I get it. But I think because in this specific genre, it's Disney. Like, cartoons kind of appeal to this generation. So it may be more palatable, like something they can like quickly kind of pivot to and do a compare and contrast.
All right.
But far be it for me to try to come up with the assessment of these millennials, of which apparently we are a part of.
Nope.
You don't think so?
All right. Zennials?
I'll take that any day of the week. All right. But Ice is in. I'm actually relieved having seen this new trailer and where they've gone with it, because I kind of fell into that social media trap where, you know, they start talking about the genie and how Will Smith is portrayed and colored and wow, that was the wrong choice of words.
Colored
blue.
Blue.
Yes. But he
keyword.
He went regular Will Smith form to blue in color, and it got weird, and I fell into that trap. But honestly, having seen how they go back and forth in this trailer, you know what? I'm good with it. It's perfectly fine, and I'm sure there's gonna be a logical explanation for it, because it kind of seems like it's already there.
And when you actually see him doing genie things, it's like, it's kind of cool. It's like, okay, they capture some of the essence of what the cartoon was doing, so it's like, okay, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But what was funny was like I saw on social media someone was so like disturbed by Blue Will Smith that they like they're like, you know, they did it totally wrong. It's all in the details. And what they did was they like changed the size of his jaw so it's slightly animated. And just by doing that, it felt a lot more closer to the original Genie, which I thought was like interesting. But
I'll end it on this. The coolest thing I saw somebody do with the Will Smith rendition Will Smith portrayal of the Genie was they turned him into Thanos.
Really?
They just dragged his chin out. They drew some lines and put him in the armor. I was like, this is the best shit ever. Like, they completely missed an opportunity here. So hopefully one day when the reboot happens and right. Will Smith is like 70, he'll be Thanos.
But one of the bigger things in this trailer that I just have to point out is, how hot is Princess Jasmine, man?
Okay, brother, you gotta keep it in your pants, man. Like, you've wanted to, like, just burst through your seams when you saw Brie Larson as Captain Marvel in the skin-tight fabrics.
She's
like,
all right, man.
I'm gonna second his...
Second me? Or second him? who are you seconding? I can't understand.
About her attractiveness?
She's gorgeous, but I'm telling you...
Can I add in, she probably has a great personality also. I don't judge women solely on their looks, so I just want to say she probably has a great personality.
Everything he said is like, man, she's really hot. Like, that's the very first thing that's come out. Like, of any female film character we've discussed tonight, it's like, man, she's pretty hot, bro. Like,
she's cute. She looks good.
I wasn't going to dispute the point, but god damn it, man. You're playing a character, I don't know, but you gotta tighten it up, man.
You gotta remember, I'm a Power Rangers fan, and she was the Pink Ranger. So seeing her again now as another character that I grew up watching, I was just like, yes!
All right, we're going to throw some cold water on ice as we end this episode. But
Am I showing?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. We feel a little poke coming through, but... thank you for not completely creeping us out. I mean, I don't know. I can only speak for myself, I guess. But fun show, Brian. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Thanks
man.
For having me, man.
Your drink is a little low, so we'll get you fueled up. I apologize for not having the brown liquor on tap.
no worries, man.
It's like we didn't skip a beat at all, despite people not being around. But
no one would notice.
No one will ever know. Ever again.
It's gonna have the most views ever, by the
ever.
Way.
Yes. if we can get some listens from the Funko Pop community, it's gonna be
there you go.
Since you mentioned that, I just want to say I want to apologize to all the Funko collectors and vinyl collectors. Like, I feel like I didn't paint us in a good light.
Not really.
Did a disservice, did you?
And stuff. But like, if you looked at the stuff, it's really cool. All right. So.
Fair. All right. Yeah. Well,
I love it.
I won't judge the Funko Pop collectors from your explanation of the genre tonight.
Oh, and in relevant news, Funko has a new app this week that lets you like build your collection and all that stuff. But
yeah.
When you say that, you know that he's back in now. Right?
Yeah.
And it gives you value and everything. You can like, it'll tell you how much they feel like your collection is worth, which is pretty dope.
Going to be a problem. All right, well, fun show. Please don't buy all the Funkos because we're going to be running and buying our own after this. But appreciate you all listening to the show this week, and we will be back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't guarantee we'll be back at full force, but
we'll be back.
We'll be back at a regularly scheduled time. But again, appreciate you all listening, and we'll check you next week.
All right, that's what's up.